While you're turning, just let me remind you, Sister Vicki would need any offering that you would want credit for 2010. That big one you've been holding back, you know. This is your last chance. And so by Wednesday night, we'll need that by Wednesday night so that it can be turned in to receive credit for 2010. Now, if you want to start out 2011 with a bang, that's fine too. Amen. But just to remind you that, hey, we're running out of 2010 real quick. I mean, we're hemorrhaging 2010. It's going to run completely out here in just a few days. But remember, on Friday night, we're going to have a great service beginning at 9 o'clock. And we'll preach and sing and shout until who knows. And then after that, we're going to all go eat breakfast. Amen. At the best place in Athens, the United Pentecostal Church Annex. And Chef is going to be Brother Bubba Bacon. And if anybody can do breakfast, it's a bacon. Amen. Well, I better hush before I get in trouble here. Amen. He's a big man. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. I want to preach tonight about the importance of renewal. The importance of renewal. Lord bless you, and you may be seated. While you're sitting here, you are constantly being renewed. If you are 49 years of age, you have already gone through 7 complete bodies. We are told that every 7 years, every cell in the human body is replaced. So I've been through, well, never mind. If you're 70 years old, you have already been through 10 human bodies. Amen. Every 7 years, everything's renewed. And constantly, your body is renewing. You will renew, probably through the course of this service, some 10 million blood vessels or blood cells will be replaced in your physical body. No wonder you're tired, huh? All that work going on. But you must be renewed. It's essential. How many have failed to renew the gasoline in your car? If you fail to renew it, you will run out. And it usually is the most inconvenient time. It's because you're in a hurry that you didn't fill it up. And it's because you're in a hurry that you run out. And you're in a hurry but you miss your meeting because you failed to renew a source that has to be renewed. Have you ever been out in the country and you saw a snake skin laying on the ground? Because a snake renews itself. It crawls out, it sheds an old skin, and it comes out with a new skin. Birds go through a process called molting. They lose old feathers and they gain new feathers because they are renewing themselves. Renewal is absolutely necessary to life. We have to renew in order to live. Now, to be filled with the Holy Ghost is a wonderful and a marvelous thing. But we have to renew that experience. It's not something that we can only do one time. It's something that constantly we have to renew. Here in these verses, the Bible talks to us about the importance of renewal. Paul said, he said, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. The Jewish mind or it understood that the body is the temple of God. Amen. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church and he said, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, whose you are?" And they went on to say that if you join that body with a harlot, can you imagine joining the body of Christ with something corrupt? So he forbade, and he was reminding people, excuse me, that what you do in this physical body, this is the temple of God. It's where God lives. It's the place that we worship the Lord. It's not this brick and mortar and this wood that forms a ceiling. This is a building. It's an edifice. We have dedicated it to the service of the Lord. But it's your body that's the temple. And he's saying, when you go to work on Monday morning, whatever you're doing, if you're a dog catcher, you dedicate that dog catching to the Lord. If you're a chicken plucker, you pluck chickens in Jesus' name and do it for His glory. Amen. If you're the trash man, do it for the glory of God. If you're the bank president, do it for the glory of God. Whatever your job is, do it for the glory of God. Amen. Wherever we are, when we're singing in the choir, it's the temple of God. When you're singing going down the road with your radio on and you're listening to the right stuff. And you are listening to the right stuff because you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You're not listening to something you shouldn't be listening to because you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. And you know that. Hallelujah. And you want to bring glory to God. You want to be acceptable to the Lord. So he said, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, separated unto God. Amen. And he said, that's just reasonable service. That's not anything that's outlandish. If he died for you, can't you live for him? He became our sacrifice so that we don't have to die, but so that we can live. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen. So we understand then that it's important and it's vital that we offer this body as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. And then he said, and be not conformed to this world. The word is schema. The schema is something that changes. Those of you that have reached a certain milestone of 70 years or 50 years or 30 years, is your body the same as it was when you were 17? If you think it is, you are deceiving yourself. You'll be like that lady. She had a spot in her forehead. And somebody said, "What is that?" And her friend said, "That's her belly button. She's had so many facelifts that's where it wound up." But it doesn't matter. You can only be renewed so many times. In pursuit of the perfect human body, hey, it's going to age. It's going to get old. Amen. Praise God. And that's just life. It's a process of renewal. Amen. And so he said, don't be conformed to this world, because this physical self is always changing. It's like the chameleon. He said, don't be like a chameleon. A chameleon changes colors to fit its environment and to blend in so that it's easy to hide there. And there are some people that are chameleons. There are some people that profess to be Christians that are like that. It depends on who they're with as how they act. If they're with a certain crowd, they act one way. And then when they're with another crowd, they act another way. When they're in church, they're one way. When they're at home, they're another way. When they're at school, they're one way. When they're with a youth group, they're another way. He said, don't be like that. Don't be conformed to this world. I love the Moffat translation. He said, do not let this world squeeze you into its mold. Don't be conformed. He said, but there's an alternative. He said, be transformed. Hallelujah. Be transformed. It comes from a word that means made new. New in character. Amen. When a man is born again in Christ, he becomes a what? A new creature. Not just new in time. That's a different word. There was a word that meant different in time, as a new spot in time. But you become new in character, and new in essence, and new in nature. We take on the Spirit of God, and we become like Him. The Bible said we become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. That's an awesome change, folks. When we can receive that kind of a change of nature from the Lord of glory. So he said, be transformed. I love it. It comes from the word metamorphosis, which is the process that a caterpillar goes through to become from the process of an ugly worm to a beautiful butterfly. We're in transition. Amen. The me that you see is not the me that's going to be. There's going to be a transformation. There is a transformation taking place in all of our lives. And one day, it's going to be complete. And this mortal shall put on immortality. And this corruptible shall put on incorruption. Hallelujah. And then it'll be complete. Until said time, don't use any excuses. Be willing to change every day. We ought to be more Christ-like today than we were in 2009. As this year draws to a close, we need to have conquered some of the problems that we faced in 2009. Some of the character flaws, some of the attitude, some of the spirit, some of the problems we used to have. We shouldn't have those problems anymore. We ought to have progressed to a certain place and make up our mind. If you're still struggling, make up your mind. You're going to conquer some things now. And you're not going to be the same. You're going to do your best to be more Christ-like than you've been in the past. Amen. I'm afraid that too many of us let too much of this world control us. Yes, we do. If you're not careful, you'll get to thinking like the world. You'll let it bring you down to its level. And you'll start reacting like the world instead of like Christ. And you'll excuse your behavior with things like, well, I'm just human. No, you're not. No, you're not. You are human, but you're more. You're human, but you have received the Spirit of God. You have received the power of the Holy Ghost. And you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Praise God. It all takes place right here between your ears. That's where the transformation starts. Renew your mind. Have a new mind. The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. When you receive the Holy Ghost, God gives you His mind. And you understand things you didn't understand before. And you understand right and wrong in a new way. In a way that you did not understand before. I love to look at the book of Philippians chapter 2 as it explains to us the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5 said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. He took upon Himself some things. Yes, He did. Being God manifest in flesh. Amen. And He humbled Himself. So the mind of Christ, it mentions at least three things in these verses. If you're going to have a renewed mind, the mind of Christ, it's going to be an humble mind. There's no place in the kingdom of God for arrogance. Now don't misunderstand confidence in God for arrogance. There is a difference. Amen. A person that has a lot of faith and speaks with authority, but there's a difference in faith and authority than arrogance. Amen. We never want to be arrogant, but we always want to be humble. Humility is a difficult thing to understand and define. There are those who say, well, it's thinking little of yourself. No, that's inferiority. And inferiority is not a good thing. You don't need to feel inferior because you're a child of God. You don't need to think little of yourself. You need to understand that God has given you gifts and talents and abilities and opportunities. And you will be responsible for what you do with those things. So don't excuse yourself by thinking I'm nothing and I'm nobody and I'm less than somebody else. That is not humility. The best definition of humility is just not to think of yourself at all. Amen. Just don't get hung up on yourself. Amen. That's right. You know why people are inferior or think they're inferior? Because they're thinking about themselves. They're comparing themselves with others. That's the source of unhappiness. It's a source of discouragement. It's a source of defeat. Quit thinking about yourself. Think about God. Think about His kingdom. Think about His glory. Think about the gifts that He's given and the abilities that He's put in your life and the opportunities that are before you, and get with it. Praise God. It's the devil's business to get you down and feeling sorry for yourself, but he can't do that if you don't think about yourself. Amen. Amen. Poor me. Well, forget about you. Don't think about you. Think about him. Think about them. Amen. Our job is to minister. Our job is to evangelize. Our job is to be a witness and let this world know about Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility. So let's not get hung up on ourselves. Humility is thinking about God and thinking about others. And then the mind of Christ was a servant spirit. Jesus said, if I, being your Lord and Master, wash your feet and serve you, how much more ought you to serve one another? How is it that we outgrow things in church? Things that, oh, I used to do that, but I don't do that anymore. Well, you know. Not my job. I've outgrown all that. You know, I don't do peanut brittle anymore. I don't clean buildings anymore. I don't clean bathrooms anymore. I don't do bus ministry anymore. I don't knock doors anymore. I don't witness anymore. I don't pray anymore. Huh? Boy, you're spiritual. You're spiritually dead. Amen. But you see, if we lose our servanthood, if we lose our servanthood, then we've lost the mind of Christ. Jesus came to serve. And it's our responsibility. It's our joy to serve. Amen. It's our joy to serve. You know what I found interesting? Is that when we have a dinner, everybody wants to eat. But nobody wants to clean up. Everybody has to get home in a hurry. Had plenty of time to eat. But boy, I don't have any time for this cleanup business. Huh? What happened to your servant spirit? Sit down and somebody bring me something. And that's not what I wanted. Do it again. Lord, have mercy. We need to have a servant spirit. That's the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is to serve, not be served. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus came in while everybody was talking about who's going to be the greatest. He didn't say a word. Just went over and got a towel, tucked it in, went over and got a basin of water, bent down and took the stinking shoes off of their feet, started washing their old stinking dirty feet. You talk about changing the environment in the room. They weren't thinking about who was the greatest anymore. They was thinking, poor me, what have I done? And Peter, as he always did, got his dirty foot in his mouth. He said, Lord, you don't wash my feet. I'll wash your feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. And Peter said, well, in that case, don't just stop with my feet. Wash my head. Amen. Cleanse my old filthy, stinking heart. Change my attitude and my spirit. Change all of me. Amen. If you're going to have the mind of Christ, it's got to have a spirit of servitude. We're not here to be served. We are here to serve. And if we ever lose that, it's not the mind of Christ. If we get too important or too arrogant, lost the mind of Christ. It bothers me that some, I've heard of people that only preach in churches of a certain size. And I don't, God called me the big churches. No, He didn't. Your stinking pride called you the big church. Well, if I'm going to come, I have to have a certain amount of money. Oh, you do. You know, if I'm going to come preach, you've got to put me up in a certain kind of a place because that's what I'm accustomed to. Quit pampering your stinking flesh. That's arrogance. That's not servitude. When you get too good to do the will of God, it's not good. Servanthood. Is that all right? The Bible said, he that would be greatest among you, let him be servant of all. Here to serve. God help us to remember that. I hope tonight that we can get a hold of this. You know, sometimes you get weary preaching and then nothing changes. You face the same attitudes and the same pride and the same arrogance. And then the same ugly spirits. And it doesn't change. And I wonder how we can say amen and then not change. The mind of Christ is an obedient mind to God, even unto death. Whatever you ask, Lord, I'll do. Whatever you ask, I'll do. Amen. And so it's an obedient mind. It wants to obey the Lord. Whatever God asks, I'm willing to do. Amen. That's the mind of Christ, and that's an important mind. You have to renew your mind daily. Renew your mind. Amen. Make sure that you got your servant clothes on. Make sure that you have an humble spirit. Make sure that you have an obedient attitude and spirit. That's how you renew your mind. You understand that. But I'm here to serve. That's my reason for being. Amen. And then the Bible talks about renewing your strength. How do you renew your strength? The Bible says, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. So renew your joy, you renew your strength. And how do you renew your joy? Through worship and praise. Through remembering who God is and who you are and what He's done for you. And if that don't make you happy, I don't know what can. I get joy when I think about what He's done for me. I get joy when I think about what He's done for me. I get joy when I think about what He's done for me. Oh, what He's done for me. You know, if you can't get happy about what the Lord has done for you, that's what renews your strength. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you're going to work for God, you've got to renew your strength often, because the burden is heavy. Amen. You're going to carry a load if you're going to work for God. You're not just going to carry your load. You're going to carry somebody else's load. You're going to carry your brother and your sister's load. Amen. God, help us not to be pampered princes in this hour, but help us to be servants of the Almighty God. Amen. So you've got to renew your strength. And it's the joy of the Lord that does that. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, it changes everything. When you change from "do I have to" to "you mean I get to"? Hallelujah. Do I have to go to church? No, I get to go to church. Do I have to sing? No, I get to sing. Do I have to give? No, I get to give. Do I have to pray? No, I get to pray. Hallelujah. Do I have to worship? No, it's my privilege to worship. Do I have to preach? No, it's my joy. It's my honor. It's my privilege to serve the Lord in whatever way I can. Amen. It's my joy. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, you renew your strength. It's important. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. We have said this before. Let me say it again. It's more important to work with God than for God. If you work for God, you'll get exhausted pretty soon. But if you work with God, it's different, because you learn how to wait on Him. Amen. Hallelujah. You learn to feel after the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that's where your strength is. Praise the Lord. We said it this morning. It's what the eagle finds when he finds an uplift. He gets in the heat of that thermal, and it gets under his wings, and it just lifts him up. And you watch him. He doesn't have to flap hardly at all. He doesn't, not like, you know, you ever watched a hummingbird? Poor little thing. Man, he wears himself out in just a little while. He can't go very far, because he is getting with it. But an old eagle, he just looks so lazy up there. Amen. Because he's learned how to wait. Amen. Praise God. And when you learn how to wait on the Lord, that's where your strength is. We learn that in prayer, don't we? Prayer's not just it's not just killing some time and filling in some kind of a spiritual discipline. And you go in and you know, I prayed 30 minutes or an hour or 2 hours, whatever, today, and you do that every day. But prayer's learning how to commune and listen to the Lord as well as talk to Him. It's not just a spiritual gripe session where you just pour out all your complaints. David said, or the psalmist said, I don't know if it was David or not, got in trouble for saying that one time, so I'm trying to be mindful and give myself an out. But it was somebody that wrote a psalm. He said, I poured out my complaint to the Lord. I know folks that are good at that. They'll pour out their complaint to anybody that'll listen. It's fun. Amen. I poured out my complaint to the Lord. Amen. But that didn't help a whole lot. But when he started praising, when he started worshiping, amen, that's when his joy, that's when his strength, that's what came. Amen. Praise God. And so we have to renew our strength. Amen. That's something that it's important that we renew every single day. And then we've got to renew not only our human spirit. Our human spirit. You have two spirits tonight. You have a human spirit. And if you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have the Holy Spirit. And they both need renewal. But you need also to renew your human spirit. You know one of the ways you can do that? Reasonable sleep. That's right. You can renew your spirit just sleeping right. You can renew your spirit with a proper diet. I'm meddling now, huh? It's the truth. Yeah. You renew your human spirit by getting rid of worry and anxiety. When you worry and you're anxious all the time, your mind gets so weary and you feel so depleted and so heavy because you're carrying the weight of the world. Somebody said, we're burning the candle at both ends. It won't be long, there won't be any candle left. It's kind of a silly thing to do. Amen. And so you renew your human spirit. There are certain things that you just do in the natural. I mean, you can get so spiritual, but you can deplete your human spirit if you don't take care of yourself. My mom used to tell me, she said, if you don't take care of yourself, nobody's going to take care of you. Man, I've learned something about people that they'll let you do everything you want to do. And they'll sit there and watch you. Some will join in, but a whole lot of them will just stand there and watch and give you a little more to do. If you're enjoying that so much, let me give you some of mine. Don't look so serious. Amen. But we have to renew our human spirit. David said this, and it was David. He said that create in me a clean heart, O God. That's part of renewing your spirit, is have a clean heart. You see, sin, there's a burden and a heaviness that comes with it, especially for a Christian. It is for anybody, but you notice it a whole lot more after you're a Christian. That's one reason I know this is real, folks. Because before I received the Holy Ghost, there were things I could do, and I didn't feel so bad about it. But if I do it now, there's a heaviness that comes upon me. There's a weight that comes upon me. Because I know better. And that's not pleasing to God. And I know that it's not pleasing. And it gives you a heaviness of spirit. And you don't rest well, and you're not happy, and you get short, and your temper gets short, and you get snappy. Amen. And your favorite song is, nobody loves me, everybody hates me. Amen. Think I'll eat some worms. Amen. Amen. Nobody loves you, and don't you dare try! You get snappy. Amen. Because you're heavy in your spirit. You're miserable. But a clean heart will get rid of a whole lot of that. So David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. And then he said, and renew a right spirit, a steadfast spirit in me. Praise God. And then he said, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Amen. The Holy Spirit helps renew your human spirit. But it's important because you have a human spirit. And we have to recognize that. And then the Bible talks about renewing ourselves in the Holy Ghost. Titus chapter 3, verse 5, he said, not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. There are two words here. Regeneration. To regenerate is to cause new energy to come into something that was depleted. Regenerate. Make to live again. And that's what happens when a person is filled for the first time with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said we were dead in trespasses and sins. Our old spirit was dead, but the Holy Ghost came in and regenerated life in us. And now we have the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, that was not in us, is now in us. We have a new life that we didn't have before. Amen. The Bible said, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power, dunamis, which is a dynamo. A dynamo is an energy source, hallelujah, that creates energy and life in us. So when you get the Holy Ghost, you get a new power, a new life source that lights you and enables you and empowers you. Amen. So that's the regeneration. But he said, and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. We have to renew the Holy Ghost. You remember the guy, and I love this story, I tell it, and I know that you've heard it several times, but somebody here had never heard it at all. Let's not be selfish. The fellow that was praying in the prayer room, and he was just crying out with all of his heart. He was saying, fill me, Lord! Fill me, Lord! Fill me, Lord! And his neighbor said, don't do it, God! He leaks! That's why we have to renew the Holy Ghost. Because we leak. You can't get enough Holy Ghost to last a lifetime. Amen. It's not intended to be that way. It's a renewable source. It needs to be renewed in us daily. Renewing the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. Well, the book of Jude chapter 20 said, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. So how do we renew the Holy Ghost? By prayer. We build ourselves up in the Holy Ghost by prayer. Romans chapter 8 verse 26 said, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So praying in the Holy Ghost. That's how you renew the Holy Ghost. Anybody know what it means to pray in the Holy Ghost? Is there a difference in praying in the Holy Ghost and just praying? Amen. It's like that little boy said, Dad, he said, you know that what you were saying in the other day, he said was that really, did you really mean that? Was that really true? Or were you just preaching? Amen. Well, hopefully it was true. Amen. I hope he wasn't just preaching. Amen. Sometimes folks are just preaching. Sometimes it's like the fellow said before. He said, before I preach, I want to say something. But it'd be good, you know, if you say something when you preach. Amen. And so we have to renew ourselves. The Bible says that the Spirit makes intercession for us. And that's why when we pray in tongues, it the Spirit literally is expressing things that we don't know how to say. We don't know what we need, but the Holy Ghost knows what we need. And it not only knows what we know, it knows the will of God. And so it prays after the will of God for us. So that's why it's so important that we learn how to pray in the Holy Ghost and renew ourselves in the Holy Ghost. When we do that, amen, then the Spirit of the Lord is renewed in us. Amen. And then Ephesians chapter 5, Paul said this, "Be not drunken with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Amen. Praise God. So, when you're filled with the Spirit, and the word filled here, is in a continuing sense. It means to be continually filled with the Holy Ghost, constantly filled with the Holy Ghost. It's not just a one-time thing, but, you know, it's like, and he uses the example here, he said, be not drunk with wine. You know, a wino, as we call him, when he wakes up, first thing he wants is the hair of the dog that bit him. He wants another drink. Amen. And once he starts, he can't stop. Amen. He wants to be continually filled. He'll drink as long as there's something to drink. And so he said, after wine, he said, but in a spiritual sense, he said, be continually filled with the Holy Ghost. Once you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, he said, you just want more and more and more. Praise God, you want more of what you already got. I don't want wine anymore. I just want more Holy Ghost. Amen. Be continually filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. And then, lastly, in the book of Psalm 103, verse 5, the psalmist talks about renewing our youth. He said, talking about the Lord who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I read somewhere about eagles that at a certain point in time, the eagle goes into solitude up in a mountain somewhere. And he'll go to the face of the mountain and the rock, and he will smash his beak against that rock until it's broken. And in that process, of course, he has to go through a time of fasting. He's limited to what he can eat because his beak's gone. So he goes through a time of denial, and he goes through a time, as it were, of fasting. But in the process of time, he grows a new beak. And during that same time that he's growing the new beak, his feathers have fallen out. But they're also being placed by new feathers. So, and after he goes through the process, he's a new eagle. He has a new beak. He has new feathers. His wings have new strength. It's as if his youth has been renewed. Amen. You know, I want to be like Caleb. I want the Caleb spirit. When I pray for you elders in this church, I pray that you have the Caleb spirit. That's what I pray for you. I like Caleb. When he was 80 years old. 80 years old. 80 years old. 80 years old. Amen. All the young whippersnappers wanting to go here and there. And Caleb said, give me that mountain right there. I'm not looking for any planes or a rocking chair on the porch somewhere. He said, but you give me that mountain up there. That's what I'm going after. Amen. He still had faith. He still had force and strength and vitality. Amen. So I pray tonight that we have the spirit of Caleb that doesn't diminish with time, but that burns hot as it did in the days of youth. I understand that as we age, we don't have the same strength and the same endurance that we had. I understand that. We have more ounces and less bounce to the ounce. Maybe because we have more ounces, some of us. Amen. Not including everybody, understand. But something happens. Amen. But on the inside, you can still have force and strength. You know, you prayed so many prayers, and you faced so many trials, and you've come through so many battles. You've got a strength that the youth do not have. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And the devil knows that. And that's why he tries to make you think that you're not important, and because you don't have the same physical vitality. Let me tell you something. You're a warrior tonight. You have some battle scars. You've been through some things. You've gained wisdom that only living through things can give you and bring you. You have experiences tonight that will enrich your life and cause you to be a blessing to somebody else. And you hear me, when you pray, it's important and powerful when you pray. It's important when anybody prays, but when a seasoned saint of God that's been through some stuff gets to praying in the Holy Ghost, hell shakes, demons tremble, walls fall down, because there's force and there's power in your prayers. You're known at the throne of heaven, and you're known at the gates of hell, because you've been there before, and you've shaken the very foundations. And we need you to pray. And we need you to pray. We need everybody to pray. There's something powerful about the prayers of God's seasoned saints. Amen. You're special tonight. And don't you forget it. And don't you let the devil tell you anything else. Amen. But we all need to renew ourselves. Renew your mind. Renew your strength. Renew your human spirit. Renew the Holy Spirit. Those are things you've got to renew every day. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together tonight. And that's why we're here. And that's why we're in this house. Praise the Lord, so that we can renew ourselves in this house tonight. Amen. Renew me, Lord. I hope you feel better than when you came. If you don't, then you just didn't avail yourself of what's here. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord's in this house. I said the Spirit of the Lord is in this house. The presence and the power of God is in this place. Oh, don't let me be like Jacob. He said, surely the presence of the Lord was here, but I didn't know it. Mm-mm. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Amen. But God, give us that sensitivity, that as soon as we walk through the door, we can already pick it up. Amen. The Holy Ghost is here. Spirit of God's in this place. Amen. Amen. Everybody needs renewal. You know, it's important tonight. I know that some of you may not be accustomed to praying at the altar at the end of a service. For some reason, some people think that if you come and pray at the altar, it means that you're weak and you have a weakness. Well, that's true. You have a weakness whether you admit it or not. Every last one of us here are weak. Oh, yes, we are. And every last one of us here needs strength. And if we don't respond to the Word of God, then the next time it's preached, it's easier not to respond to the Word of God. And then it's easier not to respond to the Word of God. And then it's harder to respond to the Word of God. Until finally, we don't find ourselves praying at the altar at all. I think it's important that every time God speaks to us, we respond to Him. Amen. I think it's important. Amen. So I invite you tonight. to this altar. I invite you to come. Amen. It's no shame. Everybody needs renewal. It doesn't mean you're backslid just because you pray at the altar. It doesn't mean you're backslid if you're weeping and crying and wailing before the Lord. It just means I'm weak. I need some strength. I need refreshing. I need encouraging. I need to regenerate. I need to renew myself. Amen. That's all you're saying when you come to pray, is here I am, Lord. I'm giving you the opportunity tonight to do something in my life that you know I need. I might not even have the words for it. I may not even know how to say it. But there's a need on the inside of me. God, I'm giving you the opportunity to talk to me, to feed me, to fill me, to renew me tonight. Renew me, Lord. Renew me, Lord. Renew me, Lord. Oh, renew me, Lord. Renew my strength. Renew my mind. Renew my joy.